Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the CPL Newsroom presented by Volkswagen. I know it's been a bit of a while since we've seen you guys, but I'm Charlie O'Connor-Clark alongside Mitchell Tierney, and welcome to Season 6. This is the first one of this series we're doing. We're previewing the 2024 Canadian Premier League season. We're going to do a tight 10 minutes on each of the eight Canadian Premier League clubs playing in the 2024 season, and we're going to try to get to it as quickly as possible here. So Mitch, the way this is going to work is we've got five hot questions for each team in the CPL. I'm going to put 10 minutes on the clock here. That's how long we have to answer these questions. We have to be tight. At the end of it, hopefully you've learned something about one of the eight CPL clubs. We're going to do a team every day. We're going to start at the very top of the table with today Cavalry Football Club. So I'm literally putting 10 minutes on the clock here. I'm going to set a timer.
Do we get hydration break, stoppage time?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. At the end of this club, we've already wasted like 10 seconds. Ready? Let's go. So question number one for Cavalry FC. It's easy. How do they prevent a championship hangover? This team won the league by 13 points last year, 55 points in total. Obviously, didn't lift the cup after the final, but still won a league title. Mitch, what do you do after a season where you kind of run away with the regular season like that?
Well, to build on kind of the last part of what you said there, I think it is critical that they did lose that final. Not in terms of, you know, obviously they would have wanted to win it, but in terms of not having a championship hangover, like that will be the moment that all these players can kind of remember is being on Tim Hortons Field and watching their rivals lift the trophy. So in terms of a championship hangover, obviously that will be their motivation. And I also think internal competition is huge. I think the new signings that they have brought in do lend themselves to, you know, pushing some of those established players or previously established players within the club to play at new heights. And maybe, you know, they don't have the positional stability that they thought they did the year before. So I think that'll be very helpful. And, you know, that internal competition will ideally extend it or lend itself to external competition and to once again, you know, pushing those standards higher within the league.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. This is a group that knows that they have that extra step to take. And we've spoken about it before. They know what they left last season with, that bitter taste. And it's a team that's only, I think, gotten better. I think maybe more so than any other team in this league. They didn't lose a single member of their starting 11 from the final, which is the first time a CPL club has ever done that. Brought back all 11 players from the previous year's final. And they've added Diego Gutierrez, they've added Tobias Rzeszewski. We're going to get to those in a little bit, but we are flying along here very well, Mitchell. But question number two, we saw Cavalry play already this year in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. They played Orlando City. Result didn't go their way, but it was a first taste of that. What can Cavalry take away from their CONCA experience? with this kind of compound word here.
And I'm glad you read it.
I had to, but I had to make sure everybody knows that you wrote that. what can they take away from what we saw in the Champions Cup?
From their CONCA experience. Thank you very much. But
let's go.
I do think, we've seen what this has done for Forge in the past in terms of playing against different competitions. You know, this is a league still that's small and you play the same teams four times a season, if not more, in the Canadian Championship. So it is good to test yourself against different competitions and in competitive competition as well. It should be added. So I think that always helps the team. And, you know, I also do think, like you mentioned, that they're probably the team that has gotten a bit better the most better, I guess. And I do think that's true. But at the same time, you know, you look around the league and almost every team's gotten better. So Cavalry need to reach that next level. Well, they got to experience what it looks like to play against and be at that next level against Orlando. So I think that that's very helpful as well in this matchup. So I think it will only serve them, you know, incredibly well going into the season. But you were down there, obviously, with them during this during this experience. So is there anything that, you know, you kind of observed that you think will really help them?
Yeah, I think what I noticed most from them kind of before and then after these games, both in Langford and Orlando, was that it's one thing to look at tape and to talk about the team you're going to play. And it was clearly very different even at halftime of those games after they'd had a little bit of experience seeing what it was actually like when Facundo Torres is on your back and you know, burning down the wing and assisting goals against you. Like there's kind of that difference that you can't really prepare fully for without having actually experienced it. And I think the most important thing for Cavalry is that they have now experienced it for the first time. We saw it with Forge before in CONCACAF competitions. Once you get there and you know what it's like, you're desperate to get back to it. And I think that's something that will motivate Cavalry a lot more this year. Last year, they talked a lot about how they wanted to be there. This year, they know they want to be there. They know that they want to be in this tournament next year, and they know now how to get there, and that's through the CPL. So, question number three. How important was it for Cavalry FC to add more attacking options this year? Obviously, they've done that with, you know, Tobias Vrchevsky coming in, Leighton Brooks, an Australian forward. You might even say that Lucas Diaz had some attack. Even Diego Gutierrez. How important was it to add that depth to this side, Mitch?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed to me almost like their off-season signings were in direct relation to the way that CPL final went. And, you know, if you were Tommy Wealdon Jr. in that final and you could look down your bench late in that match or an extra time and you had Leighton Brooks and Tobias Vrchevsky and, you know, Lucas Diaz and Diego Gutierrez there, you know, maybe instead of some of the options they had, I think that match maybe ends up a little bit differently. So I think that that was maybe the next step in the evolution for this club, is having different attackers that could come off the bench and change a match. Obviously, they lost one of those when Gauthier Antigny left the club late in the season. So, yeah, I think that this only makes them more dangerous, and they can have different looks. And, you know, Ali Moussi only needs to play 60 minutes, so he can just really go at defenders more for those 60 and come out. Or Willy Akio, same thing. Like, they don't have to worry about going the full 90 and pacing themselves. There's players now that can come in and make an impact. So I think it's huge for them, and I think it's probably the biggest thing they needed to address this offseason, and it really seems like they've done that.
Yeah, for sure. This team asked Meyer Bevan to score a lot of their goals last year, and he obviously is one of the best in the league at doing that. But I think now there's more options. You know, we saw Tobias Vrchevsky start the first CONCACAF game because, you know, Bevan hadn't been in training quite as long. I think he just had another kid. Congratulations, Meyer, obviously. But maybe you're not at your peak form after you've become a father for the second time. But yeah, I think all of those options are very good for this team. You know, we saw them bring Ali Moussi off in the final when they were up. And then, you know, the attack kind of wasn't there after they'd been scored on. The wind came out of their sails. But I think having those options, those different looks you can throw at teams, especially when you see a team four times a year and they've all seemed pretty much the exact same Cavalry team all of last year as well, that's super valuable. We have 3 minutes left. Question number four. We're gonna fly through this though. Which new signing, we've just mentioned a lot of them, which new signing will have the biggest impact? There's an easy answer that I think you're gonna take, so I will let you go first.
Yeah, the easy answer is Diego Gutierrez. I think this is a player that fits the Cavalry system perfectly. He can play anywhere in that midfield. And I really think he's got another level that he can reach that maybe, you know, he wasn't able to in Valor last season. You know, he was one of the league leaders in chances created. And if he's playing those same balls into Ali Moussi, into William Akio, into Meyer Bevan, you know, I think they're probably ending up in more goals than they did in the past. So, yeah, this is a player that I think is one of the best midfielders in the Canadian Premier League, and he's joining the best team in the Canadian Premier League as of last season. So whenever that happens, you just sit back and you want to see what takes place.
100%. I think the easy second answer is obviously Toby Vrchevsky. We've seen what he did in the CPL with FC Edmonton a couple of years ago. I think what is it? Let's count to 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 goals and 14 assists in 2 years for FC Edmonton. Double digits is nothing to sniff at over 2 years. That's very, very impressive, especially on, you know, let's be honest, a team that didn't have a lot of depth and was struggling at times and at the bottom of the table. I do also, you know, we're running tight here. I do also want to shout out, under the radar, maybe Jack Barrett, goalkeeper coming in from Edmonton, not necessarily just because he's going to make a big impact on the pitch, but because I think that it's the first time in a while that Marco Carducci has had somebody pushing him for those minutes and that kind of competition. And that's important for every single player at every level, no matter if you're, you know, the captain of the team, the most experienced player, the first name on the team sheet, which in many senses Carducci is. You need to have that guy over your shoulder, and you are mentoring him, but you also don't want to lose your job. And I think that's very important for Marco Carducci to continue to keep that motivation and that competition in training. All right, final question here. We have 1 minute and 7 seconds, 6 seconds, 5 seconds, I'm stalling. What does success look like for Cavalry FC in 2024? Mitch, I think there's only, this is probably the easiest club to answer this question for, right?
I need 1 second. North Star Cup. Like, it's at the end of the day, that's the one trophy, you know, that still isn't in their cabinet. Obviously, look, they'll want to get back to CONCACAF. That'll be the overall overarching goal. But the only way that it's a true success is if they do that via winning the, and lifting the North Star Cup finally.
That's exactly it. It's that simple. Obviously, they want to get back to CONCACAF. Winning the league again would be huge for them. But they spoke about this, like, several times, spoken about it publicly. I know that the players feel this, the group feel this, the coaching staff feel this. They know how to be consistent in the CPL. They're arguably better than anybody at it and have been over 5 years. They know that they've got that, you know, reputation for not getting it done in those championship games and those big moments, and they're desperate to turn that around. And I think, you know, they know that and they're solely focused on that. And I think that, you know, there's a very good chance that that is, you know, what they strive for this year. So my phone is literally going off right now. We did it. 10 minutes on the dot. Again, we're going to be doing this this tight 10 minutes for all 8 teams in the CPL, running down the table from last season. Thank you very, very much for watching or for listening if you're listening on the podcast. If you're with us on YouTube or on the website, we thank you very much for watching, and we will speak to you next time. If, however, you are listening on audio, we have an extra treat for you, because I sat down with Tommy Wheeldon Jr. down in Orlando to speak about this season, and he obviously has a lot more intelligent things to say about this club than I would. So we are going to leave you with the dulcet tones of Mr. Wheeldon Jr. to carry you to the end of this podcast. With Tommy Wheeldon Jr., Tommy, you guys won the league by 13 points last year. I guess the first question to ask is, how do you improve?
Yeah, it's well, I think league play is something that's very much our specialty. Now we want to get good at cup competitions as well as maintain that level of success in the league. And chemistry is key. It takes time to get it, and when you have it, it's essential to your success. And chemistry is all about the time and space to make a decision. So whether it's the tactical nuances that you're putting on the pitch to the relationships, pairings and triangles that you're putting together. But yeah, I think with us now having, I think it was 16 from the team that won the league, it's really important. And I think we've added more quality, which I think for our guys now, what you'll see is, you know, we had Maya Bevan, Golden Boot winner, you know, coming off the bench in the first game in CONCACAF. We had Ali Moussi, Players Player of the Year, you know, coming off the bench in the second leg. I think we're going to see now that if we're to attack the other three competitions, we're going to have depth and the ability to change games as it goes.
How do you make sure that motivation, that level remains high with these players?
I think it all comes down to the pursuit of excellence. You know, we have it on the walls at Spruce Meadows. It's going to be very, very tough to win a league by 13 points again, but we're going to try and do so. Now I'd like to build this team and lift trophies year in, year out, because we have to be addicted to this experience of getting to CONCACAF and playing teams like Orlando City that were a phenomenal side and experience for us to play.
The end of the 2023 season, yeah. Was that final, obviously a huge spectacle for everybody, yeah, that was watching as a neutral. What's kind of your lasting imprint from that game?
Yeah, sometimes you leave playoffs with regret that I wish I'd have gone this way, or wish I'd have done that. And, you know, as a coaching staff, could we have affected it this way or that way? Didn't have that. I've had that in the previous playoffs. We were beaten by two moments of brilliance, and you're like, well, you tip your cap, because that's exactly what finals are. You know, I thought on the day our performance was better than the opposition, but they had the moments of brilliance. For us now, we don't live with the regret of that final. We actually go, okay, we got there, second time in 5 years to be in a final. Now we want to go again.
Just let's talk a little bit about some of the newcomers. Obviously, Toby Wierzchewski took a year off, but we've seen what he can, yeah, do, his numbers in this league. Diego, yeah, Gutierrez, top midfielder in Valor for a couple of years. Just tell me about some of these players coming in and how you've seen them fit into this squad so far already.
Well, the two names you mentioned are terrific characters that know the league well. And I think it was only really the change in the foreign rule why Toby found himself without a club in the CPL. He's clean ball striker, he's technically proficient. He's that really all-round striker that I think we needed in our artillery. And then you talk about Guti in the same way. He's a progressive passer, he's a dynamic runner, and he's a really good presser. That DNA was, you know, credit to our recruitment team in terms of when his contract was out to be able to convince him to come to us. I think, you know, he could have gone outside the leagues. And then Leighton Brooks, we've got somebody with pace. And I think there's going to be big pitches and high presses that you need pace in behind. And I think you add in Lucas Diaz to that mix, who we've seen with his you know, brief debut, the boy can play. You know, we need someone like Jack Barrett, who's very similar to Marco in that he's an extra player when you're in possession. And he's also got great reflexes as a keeper. And I think now he brings that level of training up for Marco. And he also brings that level of competition for Marco. And I think with that, we'll get better whomever we end up going with. But it's certainly, we love Marco, he's our club captain. But every place on the team is up for grabs. I think it's going to be a really competitive league this year. I look at the way other teams, you know, all coaches are in place, so it allows them to bring in their own identity and also add on from what they had last year. You know, there's obviously a bit of a gap, but I think that gap will close. I think the games are going to be better, which in turn makes the league better, which in turn makes us better prepared for CONCACAF and other places, for the two that end up advancing from it. So I'm looking forward to this league. You know, the CONCACAF journey was really, really interesting, but now we've got three other competitions to prepare for.